The Catholics of Oz is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to episode 70 of The Catholics of Oz. The Catholics of Oz is a show where we discuss faith, culture, and what's been happening from an Aussie perspective. Whether it's Synods or Science, Apostolates and Apps, Providence or Productivity, you can hear it right now on The Catholics of Oz. Hello, I'm Lindsay Sands, and welcome to episode 70 of The Catholics of Oz. So happy to have you all with us. It's our last episode of the year, and because this episode is coming out just before Christmas, we're going to add a bit of Christmas cheer in what we do today. So almost Merry Christmas to all of you. And before we continue, I'd like to introduce our other host of the show, I was trying to think of a Christmas reference and it slipped out of my ear. So I'm just going to go with my Christmassy sister. Caroline, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. I am very Christmassy. We have lights all over the house. My kids love Christmas lights. They're everywhere.
How many nativity sets have you put up now, Caroline?
I have two nativity sets because I was given one quite a few years ago by our auntie, Sister Miriam. And then Mum gave me her old one as well. And I thought, well, I have to put them both up. I can't just have one. So I have two.
Excellent.
And many lights and two trees. So I have, and I put lights out the front as well.
Yeah. So I was at your house yesterday. It's all very, very
That's
Christmassy
right.
at the
end.
Yeah. I should have called you my nativity sister because you've got, Oh, well, next year's Christmas
save
episode.
Save it for next year.
Yeah. Yes. All right. I haven't had too much eggnog, people, just in case you're wondering.
It's Saturday morning.
Saturday morning. Yeah, too early for eggnog. And also joining us, our other host, our good friend, our brother-in-law, something, I don't know, Lino Saval, how are you today?
I'm doing well, guys. I'm doing well. Yes, I can't believe Christmas is coming to us. 2 weeks. For us in Australia. Yeah, well, wait,
at this time of recording.
I'm apologizing.
Yeah, and around the world.
Around the world. It's about 2 weeks. Yeah.
No, it's not timing.
Exactly. Yeah. I get confused, especially when we, time zones, blah, blah, blah. And people go, Happy New Year. Where you are? Oh, this one. Happy New Year. What? Where are you? Oh, you're somewhere else. You know what I mean? It's all different time zones. But it's been great. This year has been very interesting. It's been interesting.
That's one way to put it. Yeah.
I won't reflect as right now, but I want to think about how this year has gone by and think, we've been through typical COVID, yeah? And I'm thinking to myself, what have we learned through these times? And I think what we've learned is that family is very special within us, with us, yeah? And I've, not personally for myself, I think, what I'm trying to figure out is consumerism hasn't been so, advertised with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not all about buying this, buy that. Well, there it is, but not as much. I think the COVID news has been taking over all of that.
Yeah.
This is happening here. And then I think for us, we take a lot of things, not too seriously. At times, and we need to know that we have family and friends with us all this through this year. So, it's been interesting for me. And the great thing is we're out of lockdown. We're doing great.
We have been for a while. Yeah, things are really good at the moment.
Look, the numbers haven't been great, but the vaccinations, like Caroline knows, that they've been awesome. And people
through the roof.
Trying to do the right thing. And we are getting there, and it's great. Looks like we're having a normal Christmas. Oh, I don't know what kind of Christmas we're going to have. We usually here in Australia, guys, it's either very hot. It's not like you guys in America where it's very cold. I would wish to have snow here in Australia, down here in Victoria for once, but we can't. It's just the way it is, eh, Caroline?
Most likely not going to snow.
Never.
It could rain.
That's Melbourne.
Christmas rain and hail are a very big possibility. Yeah. You just never know what you're going to get.
Or we could be burnt to a crisp. We just don't know what Christmas we're going to get.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or it could just be really super humid and we just can't be bothered moving.
That's true.
Lino, I agree. I haven't seen as much advertising this year. And you're right. It's probably a good time if we haven't had all that advertising in our face to focus on the things that matter. In fact, the strongest advertising I've had is probably the Aldi magazine that we get when I go shopping, and that's about it.
Yeah, true. That is true.
And
yeah.
The shops themselves have been quite quiet, I've found.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not so many people. Like, usually there'd be a Christmas rush in everybody. Maybe it's still coming. I don't know. But I've had to take my mum to the shop a few times, and she, like, I just haven't seen many, many people around. Who knows?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Still, probably people are still a little bit cautious about their movements, but
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's true.
But hopefully, hopefully people start to emerge soon.
Yes.
And safely.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
All right, well, let's get this show on the road. So before we continue, I'd just like to remind you all, first of all, Merry Christmas. It'll be Christmas very soon. So a very, very warm. Yeah, exactly. Very warm and welcoming Christmas to you all. We'd like to remind you all at this time to remember the Catholics of Oz by sharing any posts about us from the StarQuest Production Network's Facebook page, which is facebook.com/StarQuestMedia. Or if you see anything posted about us on Twitter, you can find that handle at SQPN. So please share that around so that other people start to know about us and can share in the fun, the silliness, the seriousness, the whole of it, all of everything that we do, all of the above, and we talk about all the topics that we're interested on this show. And if you're listening to the Catholics of Oz for the first time, a very, very big welcome to you and Merry Christmas. So it's great to have you on board, and I hope you're enjoying what you're hearing so far. But you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast player. SQPN also hosts all of Catholics of Oz episodes on YouTube, so you can just search SQPN on YouTube and find the show there, and the network there, I should say. And you can hit the subscribe button, and don't forget to hit the bell to get notifications when new episodes of our show and all the other shows are released as well. And don't forget, on your favorite podcast platforms that you use, to leave us a lovely 5-star review and a comment, so that it will help the algorithms to share us around this Christmas, and other people can find out about us and join the fun as well. It's been such a lot of fun. It's the last episode for the year this year for us, so it's been a lot of fun sharing with you through the ups and downs of the year, and we're looking forward to doing more of that. But we do have one more episode to go, so let's do some content for today. So, Lynn and Caroline, you know that this year, in a couple of episodes, I've been on a bit of a religious art binge, as you know, and I've been very excited about some of the things that have been revealed throughout the year. The background is that I've been doing a master's subject, or I should say a master's course, and I've got one more year to go, thankfully, so I can't wait for that to conclude.
How long has it been, Liz?
This one's a 3-year course, part time.
I have to tell everybody, you've been smashing it. You've been doing so well. Really good grades. Very proud of you.
Yeah. So I'll put it out there. So if you look at my progress through all of my studies of theology, so I did a Bachelor of Theology, and it took me 11 years. That was the first 11. Part. So
yeah, man.
If you look at my grades, it was passes in the beginning and credits, and you know, the highest I got in that bachelor's degree was distinction. So I got a couple of HD essays here and there, but never a high distinction. And in this course so far, thanks be to God, this year I've managed to get my first two high distinctions for subjects, and I'm really grateful for that. And I have to shout out, I've got two colleagues that I'm studying with, and if I was doing this alone, I don't know if I would have actually continued the course, because it's a lot of hard work. So it's a shout out to my two colleagues, Simon and Shane, who are studying with me, and we've just got each other through. And also, Caroline, you have to have a shout out as well, because I send Caroline all of my essays, everything I write, and I've asked her to proofread, because sometimes I read them, I just don't know if it's good or not. I'm just like, oh, does it make sense to someone else who isn't me? So. Caroline, thank you for that too, because it's meant a lot that you've had a bit of read of my work and just told me what's good and what doesn't make sense as well.
It's my pleasure. I've been learning along with you, so I've been really been enjoying a lot of things I didn't know, a lot of aspects of our faith that I've learned now because of you, and new perspectives, so I love it, yeah. It's a pleasure for me.
Spreading the joy. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Well.
But thanks be to God for those results. And Caroline, how dare you shout out all this?
Embarrassing you. You deserve it. You work so hard. You deserve it.
Thank you.
Is it a biased comment from a sister? Is it, Lizzie?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We recorded it too. Wow. Yeah. I've got proof now that she's nice.
You
sometimes.
Do now. You do.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we joked about you roasting me last episode at the end. So this is a. It's a very nice Christmas is coming, as you can tell. Like, things.
This is a kind of different kind of roasting, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, we'll talk more about roasting later, Caroline, in the science. Yeah,
yummy. Certainly will.
That? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will. All right, so sign of things to come. Mm-hmm. Today I wanted to, because Christmas is, you know, so again, it'll be a couple of days until Christmas when this episode comes out. And all of you who are listening, I don't know what your lives are like. I don't know if you're very busy in the lead up to Christmas with whatever it might be. I don't know if you're stressed and worried, if you're happy and relaxed, wherever you might be, if you're looking for a spiritual kick, whatever it might be. I wanted to offer today some meditation through artwork. Now, we did an episode on artworks earlier in the year, and I understand the challenges of doing an audio podcast while talking about some visual mediums in art. So I'm going to talk about these artworks, and Caroline and Lynn, I'm going to ask you what you notice in these different artworks as well. And these are all based around Christmas and deepening our understanding and our appreciation of Christmas, our appreciation and awe for what God has actually done for us, and ultimately deepening our relationship with God through. I believe that every experience of Christmas should be unique. In some kind of way, there should be something that we get out of it. So if this is that thing that helps you to get something out of it, then I offer this to all of you who are listening, and obviously Caroline and Lino to you as well, as it has done for me. So the artworks are all from an artist called Mike Moyers, who I discovered recently, and I love what he's trying to do. So very briefly, Mike Moyers is an American artist who focuses on impressionist kind of art and also abstract as well. And he's a person of deep spirituality. So I've got a video that's 4 minutes long that describes his motivation for his art. And that will be in the show notes. So if anyone would like to watch that video later on and see it. But he basically says that art for him is communion with the soul. So art reaches in and allows for theological reflection. And he says that he's a theological impressionist. And he's been trying to capture moments in scripture, but also he says the moments that aren't recorded in scripture as well that add and enhance. And artists do this. So, for example, there's another artwork, which I'm not going to go through today, and it's about the Annunciation, and it's Mary sitting on her bed after the angel has left and contemplating what's just happened. So I love those kind of artworks that give us a bit more of a spiritual reflection on the events, those important events and feast days that we celebrate. And also the way that artwork, I guess, gives us opportunities to deepen our faith as a result. So Mike Moyers, he's done a lot of artwork, and I'm obviously not going to go through all of it, but I'm going to go through three different pieces today. And there are links to these pieces in our show notes. So if you'd like to look at them later on, so if you're driving, obviously don't take your phone out and start Googling. That's dangerous. All right. Yeah. If you're listening on your phone, and if you want to look at the links while you're on your phone while we talk about them, you're welcome to do that. And if you have any impressions of this art, share it with us as well, because we'd love to hear it. So Lino and Caroline, the first one I'd like to share with you, if you guys want to go to your links, is called The Annunciation by Mike Moyers. So this is the one with Mary and the angel, and you can see three pots there. Can you see that artwork in front of you?
Mm. Yes, we do.
Mm. Yeah. So what do you notice? What sticks out to either of you as features that just pop out that you notice first?
Well, I like the angel. It's kind of like painted into the painting itself.
Mm.
And Mary's just going about her business with her pot there, and she's like, well, there's no expression on the face, but, you know, I guess you can just input what you're feeling there maybe. And it's like she's kind of standing there going, what's happening?
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah.
There's an angel in my house.
You know. Yes.
I mean, it would be quite a shocking experience, I think, you know. But it's so beautiful and gentle as well. You know, it's to me, it shows the humility of the pots on the ground, just the humble surroundings, and then this angel of God coming and is about to give her the message. Yeah, those are my impressions. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Lena, how about yourself? Anything else that stands out to you?
Well, first thing is the angel's, well, very, very bright. Well, most of the angels are very bright. Thank goodness I haven't come across an angel. If I do, I'm in trouble. But you know what I mean. But it's just like it's just boom, light coming at Mary. Mary's going, okay.
Hello, how are you? Yeah. She's holding the pot. How's your day been? Well, you know, and the angel's going, giving her the, like Caroline, the message, and saying, you're going to be the mother of Jesus Christ, who's going to change the world in many ways. You know what I mean? And look, but I'm not a artist connoisseur.
Neither am I, Lino. Neither am I. Yeah, that's the great part about this. Yeah.
I'm just sticky looking at the colors and everything. Mm. Oh, this is so embarrassing. I'm slightly colorblind. Yeah. So please forgive me for know what the colors are.
All good.
But
all good.
But I do know that it's more the brightness, of course, Caroline. Yeah, and you guys, it's inside. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And it, to me, that's the inner light, and not only for the angel, but within the inner light, for the angel, but within ourselves, it can be like that too.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever, you know, and also we can, within our inner light, we can express it to other people if we can, and especially through Christmas. Yeah. And yeah, that's what I see. And it's, yeah, it's amazing. And also, I think we're off camera, we do this all the time, guys, who's listening. We have a chat and everything, and we tend to think, oh no, we should put this in a podcast. But we're thinking about the oil, if it's oil or acrylic painting.
I'm not sure what he paints with, but it could be either. Yeah.
It looks awesome. I look at the brush strokes of how he's doing it, and I'm thinking, wow, how's he doing that? And yeah, it's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, and his brush strokes are always prominent in his art. You can see the strokes clearly. So you've both picked out some key foundational features. And so some of what I say is what the artist has said, and some of what I say is going to be a stretch, because we can interpret art how we want as long as it's legitimate. So here's what we can take out of it. So first of all, the pots that you see those two pots that are sitting on the ground there, they are, so the artist said this represents the law and the prophets. So basically the Old Testament, the totality of the Old Testament. So the laws through Moses, and also everything that was taught through the prophets. But Mary is holding a pot as well. So why is there a third one? Well, because Jesus, who she's going to be the mother of, is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets.
Ah.
And it's very interesting to me, at least, that she's holding the pot sort of above her womb. So she's not pregnant yet, but it gives the impression of a pregnancy. So this one who's going to be born is going to be the completion of the law and the prophets. So I find that quite amazing. Yeah. Both of you talked about how Mary was probably feeling, yet she's got no face. And Mike Moyers has said he deliberately and doesn't draw faces. Caroline said maybe he can't draw them at all, but before. but actually he deliberately doesn't draw faces often so that we can fill in what the expression is. And the two of you have done that. You've given, well, what was the expression on Mary's face? Mm. What was she feeling? So I like the idea of that blank slate for us to feel that.
Yeah,
Now this is just my interpretation, okay, this next bit. There are two themes that come across these artworks that I'm going to go through today. One is interruption, and the other one is the light of Christ. So the interruption is the idea that, yes, Mary looks ordinary, and Caroline, you talked about the humble setting that there in the image as well. And whatever she was doing, like she's got a pot, so she was clearly doing something before the angel, 10 seconds before the angel appeared to her. And so this is God interrupting our lives. So interrupting the ordinary and the mundane to say there's more. There's more for you to do. There's more for us to do. So there's this interrupting the complacency of our lives, the mundaneness of our lives, the normal, and calling us again to be more, to do more than normal where we can. So that's the first thing I see, is that interruption. It's also interesting that the shape of the light is round, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I can see
almost,
that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, is this almost like the womb of Mary, in a sense, representation about to be enlightened with the light of Christ? Because in Mike Moyer's artwork, all of the godly figures, they emanate light. So the light of, the light of Christ. And at Christmas Mass, that one of the last prayers or blessings that the priest gives is about how Christ came to dispel the light. So to dispel the darkness of our lives with his light. And so there's all of this theme of light coming into the world to dispel darkness. And that's what I see in this first image. So again, keep those themes of light and of interruption as we go, as we continue on. So I'm going to get you to open the second one now. And this one is called the Light of Christ, I think it was, from memory. So this is the very abstract-looking one. Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So again, Caroline, Lino, what are some features from this artwork that pop out to you? What do you notice most obviously?
This one, so it's a blue background and you've got like a striking painted, I guess, cross in the middle.
Sure,
which is
yep.
mostly white, and then it kind of fades out into the, to me, it looks like the colours of fire, maybe.
Wow, yeah.
So it's quite a powerful image. I think this is an obvious cross image, and I guess it's just up to whoever's looking at it to see how this cross makes you feel.
Mm.
So, like, there's a center and then there's, like, the light spreading out, but there's, like, a powerful light. So it's white
yeah.
in the middle and then extremely yeah. powerful on the edges and spreading out. And to me, it's, like, power and love and just – but it's strong, powerful, but then gentle as well.
Beautiful. You
know? Yeah.
Exactly. Wow. Yeah.
Lino, a couple of quick thoughts. I should point out before you do that, to those who are listening, this is a very abstract artwork. There's
Yay.
No clear, this isn't a literal painting like the one that I just spoke about before. So yeah, Lino, any features that pop out to you very quickly?
When I first looked at it, I could see what it looks like as the bottom part, guys, looks like it's a pool.
Oh yeah.
So there's a pool in front of us, yeah? And then exactly, off the reflection, it's just like a what's it called? A gap. It's a gap.
Okay,
it's
yeah.
a cliff. Mm. There's two cliffs on the inside. Mm. So there's a big okay. pool and a cliff. And
yeah.
Caroline, that is spot on. I, of course, it looks like a cross. I didn't see that until you distanced it. And the redness and everything. Yeah, that's what I see. And then I looked at the thing. It's a reflection, doing a reflection from the rocks to the pool. And then I thought to myself, wow, that pool looks very reflective and looks endless.
It does look like a reflection on a body of water, doesn't it?
Exactly.
The bottom half, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'll provide a couple of quick things for you then. So look at the very bottom or the bottom half of the image, and can you see how the brush strokes create shapes almost like people's
mm-hmm.
heads and shoulders?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Does that, yeah, like it's a crowd of people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then go to the very bottom of the image and can you see how it's very dark?
Mm-hmm.
And then how that darkness extends up the left-hand side there.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, this is like a snapshot. So imagine 10 seconds before this image was painted, it might have been very, very dark in this space where all of these people are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then if you look at, obviously, at the top half of the image, there's this brilliant light which has just burst onto the scene. And it has lit up everything around it and is continuing to move out and light up. So you can see some of the people standing close to the front have already started feeling that light on their
light.
Faces. They're already
yeah.
being enlightened. Lino, I agree with you.
Wow.
It looks like a gap, like something's broken through, like that blue background was something solid that's been
yeah.
shattered down the middle.
Yes.
And people are being invited to walk into it, to enter that light, if that makes
yeah.
sense.
No. Yeah, cool.
The other thing that I thought of as well is that you talked about the top half, how it's very clear and pronounced and colourful, and the reflection at the bottom is not as clear and pronounced and colourful. And so this reminds me of St. Paul saying that we see God only through a mirror darkly. So
yes.
the idea that we know of God, we can sense God, we understand God is present, but we don't fully know the mysteries of God except through Christ. And so this image for me is the birth of Christ into the world. It is light exploding into the world and being there for us. So if you think of the two natures of Jesus is both fully human and fully divine. So not like that Hercules 50% of both, but Jesus is 100% human, 100% God. And so this for me is heaven meeting earth. So you've got the imperfect underneath and the perfect at the top, if that makes sense. So in our Advent expectation of Jesus, we've got what are we expecting? We're expecting the meeting of heaven meeting earth. And that happens in our hearts, at communion, at Christmas time. And we pray in hope of the return of Christ as well. We talk about it, we pray about it in our creeds every Sunday at Mass. So this for me really is this powerful interruption again. I talked about the interruption. So this is God interrupting human history through Jesus, interrupting our lives every day. And again, dispelling the darkness and enlightening us so that we go beyond the mundane and the ordinary and we start becoming what God wants us to be, which is extraordinary, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
How are we going with that artwork? Is that okay?
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. You know, just so quickly, I also see a tower. Yes, I see a tower.
Okay, yeah.
And it looks like a tower and it's got water.
Mm.
And I'm not going to mention what kind of tower it looks like.
You were going to make a Lord of the Rings reference, weren't you?
Oh, you just read my mind, man. Yeah, but that's beside the point.
Once you said
you know
it was
what
the
I
first,
mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking more Crystal Palace Superman. But
I did show this to a colleague at work who said that looks like the Fortress of Solitude from Superman.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Cool.
I haven't thought about that before, Lino. But you know, God is my strong tower. There are biblical references to that. So I mean, that's a beautiful one. So hopefully you've got the right link this time. All right, so if you open the third one, can you both see? It should be Mary, Joseph, and Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah.
So I'll just finish up with a reflection on this one. This one is very, very simple. It's called the manger. And for anyone who's listening, it's got Jesus as a baby lying in the middle of Mary and Joseph, who are lying next to him. And I reckon most parents would be able to relate to this image. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're probably lying in bed with the with baby in the middle, waiting for baby to go to sleep so you can sleep yourself.
Yeah,
it's a very human moment. The humanity is very strong in this one. But for me, it does two things. One is Jesus is lying in the middle of them. There's the interruption. So that what does the interruption look like? It looks like the Christ who was born humbly and laid in a manger. So it's not God coming with armies and thunder and terror, to scare us into whatever it is that God has planned for us. But it's God humbly and gently motivating us towards thinking there's more that I can do every day. I can go beyond just accepting the mundane. Being complacent about my faith, being complacent about my life. There's more that I can do. So there's the interruption, it's manifested in something that's very, very humble. And there it is for us. And again, Christ, the baby, is emanating light. The edges of the artwork are dark. The light source is Jesus himself. There's no candles. There's nothing else. So it's very, very powerfully symbolic. And you can see that Mary's face and Joseph's face have picked up that light and they're emanating it themselves now. The light is on them. And they've also become a source of light because of it. And this, again, is our Christian life. Christ is our light, and we are the reflections of that light for others to see as well. So there are three, beautiful artworks. There's so many more, and we don't have 5 hours of podcast to go through. But there are these are some beautiful artworks, very, very simple, but I think very, very powerful to share what the Christmas message is, in one sense, that Christ has come to dispel our human darkness and to give us light and for us to now share that light with others as well in whatever way that we can. So, Caroline or Lena, any final thoughts about these artworks before we move on to the next segment?
I just like how they are impressionists and, just with a simple stroke of the brush in a certain color can tell a huge story, and it just evokes so much emotion and we can, like you've heard, all of us interpreting it in different ways, So I think they're really beautiful in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Lena, anything from you? Any ideas?
They look so beautiful. And thank you for the link to the website, guys, because you look at it and I'm looking at this, like, galleries of faith.
Yes.
All of them are sold. So I'm assuming that it's in American dollars, so you can actually buy the artwork
he sells prints of his artworks
and
digital copies
them.
Yes
it's
yeah,
so
right.
good
yeah
they look so awesome and wow yeah they look amazing.
They're worth it, whatever they are. They're beautiful.
They're so beautiful, guys.
Yeah
He's got us all different ones on his website, but look, they look so good.
These three tell a much larger story that he's trying to share his faith with. And I'm grateful for Mike Moyers, listening to the Spirit and using his art to evangelize in such a beautiful way, because it really has hit me this Christmas, his artwork. And so I'm grateful to have this moment before Christmas to use his artwork as my main reflection this year. So I offer that to anyone who's listening as well. There's a link to his website, and there's a link to these artworks that I've spoken about, that we've reflected on as well. And if you view them and see anything else, what does your heart tell you? What does your faith tell you that God is trying to say to you through these artworks at this Christmas time? We would love to hear from you and share any reflections that you have in the new year as well. All right, so with that, it's time to move from artwork to things that we do on Christmas Day, Caroline. And one of the things, Caroline, that we do on Christmas Day involves a lot of food. And while we, you know when you walk into Christmas lunch starving because you've had a small breakfast because you're trying to save yourself for lunch, and if you if some of you have Christmas dinner as well because you visit two families, you know there's going to be a lot of food on the day. One of the things, Caroline, that comes with this is the good old food coma, which I call the regret afterwards, where you can barely keep your eyes open. Christmas regret. Yes. So, Caroline, your science segment today, you're going to tell us about the science of the food coma. So, Caroline, over to you.
Yes, food coma, and I have a few other things to talk about too that maybe you haven't thought about when you're having your Christmas meal. So let's get into it. Why do we feel sleepy after eating a Christmas lunch, especially when we're having a turkey? So it's quite common, so in the United States and other parts of the world, but in Australia we do have a turkey lunch as well, especially our mum loves to make a traditional turkey lunch. Some people like to have other meats, like there's a good old barbecue prawns and all the rest of it that we have, but a lot of us still go for the turkey. So one theory that often comes up in conversation is that I think a lot of people have heard of the word tryptophan is found in turkey. But what's tryptophan? It's an amino acid found in quite high quantities in turkey.
I feel very tired just when you mention tryptophan. Yes. It makes me sleepy. So
yes.
Yeah, I'll try and be awake by the end of this segment. Okay.
All right. So it can make you feel sleepy. The body doesn't make tryptophan itself. It's an amino acid. So it's amino acid that's found in the turkey. It isn't made by the body. And so we need to eat it in our food. And it's called an essential amino acid. And there are actually 9 other amino acids that the body doesn't make that we need to take in our food. Others you may have heard of, lysine, isoleucine, phenylalanine, and there's others. And they all have certain roles to play in the body. Another role of tryptophan is to be a starter compound of a neurotransmitter. What is a neurotransmitter? It's a chemical messenger used by the nervous system. They're used to send messages between neurons, which are cells in the central nervous system in the brain, and between neurons and glands or muscles in the body. So it kind of is a messenger kind of molecule. Tryptophan can be used to make serotonin in the body. Mm-hmm. And serotonin is, it calms the body, it stabilizes mood, and it provides a feeling of well-being and happiness. And it can also help with sleep. So
that is
knowing
a great
this,
thing. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So knowing this, it's easy to think that eating turkey is the sole reason for why we feel tired after eating a turkey meal. So the truth is that there are other amino acids eaten with a meal that are also used to make serotonin in the body. So also eating a turkey meal doesn't raise the serotonin levels more than any other meal. So you could have another meal and it can also raise serotonin similarly. Apparently, you can achieve the same feeling of sleepiness and boost of serotonin just by eating a meal made of purely of carbohydrates.
Hmm? Say carbs. Like, yep, the carbs.
Yes, the mm-hmm. carbs. So I think we've all felt that, like a big bowl of pasta or something like that.
Pasta, I was going to say, yeah.
Or say like even a bowl of mashed potatoes. Potatoes actually contain all the essential amino acids the body needs. And when you eat carbohydrates, they release insulin. And when consumed, it lowers the level of other amino acids in the bloodstream. So then tryptophan is able to get into the brain more easily and it produces lots of lovely serotonin. So the reason why we become tired after a turkey meal isn't just due to the tryptophan in the turkey, but to other foods and most likely the carbs accompanying the turkey. Uh-huh.
Yes. So it's a combination.
That's right.
It's a team effort.
Yeah. Also, as a side note, it does take a lot of energy to digest so much food because you tend to eat a lot Christmas Day.
More than you should, yep.
The body goes into a state called postprandial somnolence.
That doesn't sound right.
The metabolic changes in the body after eating signals it to slow down and to prioritize digestion rather than other things that are going on in your body. So there you have the facts now. Yeah. It's not just eating a turkey full of tryptophan that can make you tired.
I've got to say this. If I'm a company that's selling turkey, I would be advertising it as like the well-being food. You know what? It's a total missed opportunity.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, you know, you could slant it that way for sure.
Yeah, turkey, the happy meat. You know?
Lots of tryptophan, but also eat the carbs.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone that. Yeah.
So let's move on to another food that we eat at Christmas time and probably mostly, well, I'm not sure if you eat it much in the United States and other countries, but definitely here in Australia and New Zealand, pavlova.
Yay.
So, yay.
We should say, anyone listening from New Zealand, we are very aware of the disputes about where the pavlova originated from. It was Australia? No. So if anyone visits Australia or New Zealand, if you happen to not be from natively from one of those countries, we don't talk about the origins of pavlova, because it may just spark a war between our two
countries.
That's
right. Yeah, so we just both eat it quietly and happily make it quietly.
Exactly.
When you're in your own country, you say that, you know, Australia made the pavlova. If you're in New Zealand, you say New Zealand invented the pavlova, and we just keep it at that.
That's the correct way to do things.
That's right.
It's like with everything with sport, you know, New Zealand beat us in the rugby and we beat the New Zealanders in cricket. So we'll just keep it as it is, okay? Just
100%. Be all good. Yeah. Everyone's happy that way.
That's right.
That's right.
That's it. So, pavlova, it's a dessert eaten here in Australia by many people at Christmas. So basically it's like a big cake-sized meringue dessert made of tons of sugar and cream and egg whites and topped with fruit.
Do you see how Lino and I spontaneously at the same time both went,
It is so yummy. It's not healthy, but it's delicious.
That doesn't matter on Christmas Day. No. It's irrelevant.
So the one of the main ingredients is the egg whites, and the egg whites are whipped to create the fluffy white deliciousness. And did you know that the egg whites increase in size by about 8 to 6 times when they're whipped?
Wow.
So you whip them and you incorporate the air into the whip, into the egg whites. Also, the proteins in the egg whites, they denature during the whipping process, which means that the proteins themselves, like they're usually in coil kind of shapes. This means that the proteins unravel. Then some of the amino acids that are exposed, so the amino acids are little units that make up the proteins, they try to escape the water in the egg white while the air bubbles are created because they're hydrophobic, which means they do not like water. So what they do then is they link back together and they form kind of nets around bubbles and they hold the bubble shape and stop the bubbles from popping. Also, there are some unfolded proteins that will coat the air bubbles as well, making it more stable. Now, the other important ingredient in the meringue is the sugar. So, sugar is added to the mix, and not only does it make it more yummy, but it also helps the proteins gather on the surface of the air bubbles, making it even more stable. So, you've got to have the egg whites and the sugar, and you know how you know when the meringue is ready. I don't know how many times you guys have made a meringue, but like, you know how it kind of fluffs up and becomes a beautiful thing and you test it and you kind of dip the whisk in and you see if it forms peaks.
The peaks,
exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the peaks.
Yep.
Yes,
and then the other way is like you can tip the bowl over your head to see stay nice and stiff.
Yes.
So that's basically why you get beautiful fluffy Ooh. Peaks because the proteins denature, the sugar comes in and it holds everything together, and you can do the bowl test, and then you can make your beautiful pavlova. Now, important thing to do is when you are making this pavlova, keep the yolks away from the mix because the yolks contain fats and they're actually attracted to the air bubbles as well. So they'll push the proteins out of the way. That's why you don't want to get egg whites in your white egg white mix because then you'll get flat meringue. And that's
so keep the yolks out.
That's right. Wow. No yolks.
Wow. We're not yolking.
They're not yolking. All right.
Merry Christmas. That was a Christmas cracker joke. Come on, you know.
Very good. Yeah. Anyone can use it. All right. Let's move it on.
Yolks on you. Sorry. Anyway. I've got to get out of my system. I'm a dad. I have to do that. I can't just keep it. Even during the podcast.
Yeah, I know. Can't inflict all of them on us on Christmas Day.
You bet.
All right. So what about the humble pudding? Lindsay, you make us a delicious Christmas pudding every year and you make it from scratch. And you have perfected it.
Yes.
Delicious. So one thing we don't do, have to say, is we never flambé it. We should flambé the pudding.
That's true. I want to do that. That's true. Yeah.
Why don't we try it?
Okay.
Because I don't want to set the house on fire, but all right.
Okay.
Oh, you won't.
But you set the challenge now, so I'm going to look into this.
Let's do a flambé. Okay. So usually brandy is used to do this. Mm. So what causes the flambé part of the pudding? And why doesn't the pudding burn? So you think you light something on fire, it should burn. Well, basically, ethanol is in the brandy, and that's the fuel for the fire.
Wow.
Yes, when the pudding is lit. The ethanol molecule also contains oxygen, causing it to burn with a clear, hot, blue flame. And the brandy itself is over 50% water, and some of the heat from the fire is used to evaporate the water, which stops the pudding getting too hot and burning. So there you go. That's just a quick fact.
You know why I don't flambé it? Now I realize. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I use sherry as the alcohol.
Yes.
So because it's gluten-free, so Isabel can have it.
Yes.
So I will have to see if there's a brandy that could be classed as gluten-free.
Oh, we could try it with a sherry. I wonder if that would work.
It just makes a puddle instead.
Yeah, it might need a very high concentration of alcohol.
Yeah.
That might
puddle
be
pudding.
Very strong. Yeah.
Look, even if you douse it in sherry, I don't think anyone's going to complain.
What if you just spray ethanol on it? No, that sounds disgusting.
I don't think it would taste that good. Anyway. Here's another few very quick facts for you. So, did you know that about 7,000 calories are consumed by each person on average on Christmas Day?
That's how I roll, literally, afterwards.
The recommended daily intake of calories for men is 2,500 and for women, 2,000 calories. So just letting you know.
So we don't eat for 3 days afterwards.
That's right.
Yeah, it's true. Well, okay. Well,
another fact, if Santa was to eat a cookie at every house he visited on Christmas Eve in the United States, he would end up consuming about 3 billion calories.
Whoa, okay. Yes. Yeah. So that's why he takes a year off after Christmas, because he's got to recover.
Because he's got to digest and slim down.
Probably ends up in ICU for a year and then that's all over again. Wow.
Now, I credit this last one to Frankie, my son. Why do peppermint candy canes make your mouth feel cold when you eat them?
Go on.
Because menthol is the essential oil used to flavor candy canes, the peppermint flavor. And menthol.
Methanol. Wow. Caroline.
Menthol in the candy canes is able to bind with the receptor protein TRPM8. The TRPM8 receptor is activated in your mouth when you've eaten the menthol. And this sends a signal to the brain that something cold has been eaten. And it's the same kind of reaction that would happen when you eat ice cream or drink some icy cold water. So you're tricking your mouth basically to make it think that you've eaten something cold, because the same receptor for cold is used to is triggered when you're eating some menthol in your peppermint candy cane.
Oh, there you go.
There we go. There's some science food facts for thought for you for Christmas. Yeah.
That's awesome, and I'd like to top this segment and your last science segment for the year with a Christmas cracker joke, just to it's not really going to dazzle anyone, but let's do it anyway. So, Caroline, actually, Lino, I'll do the Caroline's of the segment. So, Lino, you can help me out with this.
Uh-oh.
Lino, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Wayne.
Wayne who?
Wayne in a manger. You're welcome.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Isn't
that bad? I like it, and I'll do like
no,
it.
No, you don't have to like it. It's all right.
No, it's Christmas. I like it. I will.
I'm shaking my head.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
Wow, Caroline, that is like Master Chef science, man. Mm. Oh, that was awesome.
Well, now, you know, now you can think about your food while you're eating it on Christmas Day.
Oh, well, yeah, I'd rather not, to be honest. I just like that.
Just in case you wanted to know.
Cool.
It'll be like putting food in your mouth going, oh, I must be up to about 4,000 calories now. And that's just lunch. I wonder how many more I'll have at dinner
time. No one said it was bad. I'm just telling you the fact.
Yeah.
It's
actually also a well-known scientific fact that you don't put any weight on from Christmas meals as well.
So you can
go crazy. Yep.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Caroline. You've given us something to think about at Christmas lunch and Christmas dinner this year.
Don't forget the potatoes, guys.
Yeah, go for it.
Got to have those carbs to unlock the serotonin.
Totally.
To get in, yeah. All right. Let's finish off the show just by talking about anything Christmassy related, but let's talk about maybe some Christmas movies. We did a show on this 2 years ago on our favorite Christmas movies, but any new movies, any movies that you are a definite must that you should be watching at this Christmas time, you know, with your families and loved ones. Caroline, what have you got?
Well, we have a list of movies. Now, I have to say, we watch the Christmas comedy type movies because anything else my children will not watch. Okay. So we have our list. It's kind of a set list. We add and take away as we go every year. So the first one we always start with is Elf. Okay.
Yep.
Classic, funny. Everyone loves it. My kids die laughing, watch it every time.
Some very good parts. Yeah.
That's right. Yes. The Grinch with Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Oh, Jim Carrey one.
Yeah. Okay.
I still haven't seen that. I still haven't watched it. So.
It's a good story. I enjoy it. And, you know, who doesn't love seeing Jim Carrey, you know, in his full...
in his element,
know,
yeah.
In his element. Then we go to the Home Alones, Home Alone 1 and 2. Those ones are the ones we watch. Daddy's Home 1 and 2.
I haven't seen that one, no.
Oh, they're funny. They have Mark Wahlberg and, of course, Will Ferrell
Is that kind of a buddy comedy, like because it's those two personalities? Or
it's a bit like that. They're more like a brother-in-law comedy. It's pretty funny. There's a lot of slapstick comedy, you know, physical comedy, pretty funny. Like, I think that's what the kids really like about it.
Fair enough. I'll have to check it out.
Is they're pretty good. And then I found one, I think it's called War with Grandpa. It's I think it was on Amazon Prime actually. I think it was a movie straight to Amazon Prime. And it stars what's his name? Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro, yeah.
Oh wow.
You know, he's good at playing like the grumpy old man type.
Yes.
He tends to play a lot of them at times, doesn't he? Meet the Parents?
Yes, he
doesn't actually play that character. He just reads the lines and then he comes across that way. Yeah, that's just his...
But anyway, I think he's pretty natural at this. But this one was funny. I watched it with my son and Frankie was dying. Like, there's a lot of silly physical comedy in it as well. Okay. So no serious films for me, just the comedic films. I'll go and find some nice, you know, meaningful ones for myself and watch them the weekend.
No, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Lino, what do you think you'll be watching this Christmas?
Hopefully watching Home Alone. Watch that soon. I'm trying to bring it down, guys, but we don't really watch TV during Christmas.
Grinch.
We've seen the Grinch. I watched the animation one, but the guys who created Despicable Me?
They
made a Grinch of that. I watched
Is that DreamWorks? Did they make a Grinch movie? Oh, yeah.
They did DreamWorks to do... Oh, no, yeah, you're right. DreamWorks one. That wasn't too bad, actually.
Okay, yep.
I didn't mind that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the Jim Carrey one yet, Caroline. I'll have to check that one out.
Mm.
There was one... I think I see it right here. It's called... Is it Life is Beautiful? Is that a sort of a Christmas...
Life is beautiful.
I can't actually reach for it because I'll probably reach for it and all the DVDs will fall on top of me. but I think that's a sort of a Christmas one. And there was one we watched way back when I was with Mum and Dad, and we watched, of course, it was Is it 12 Days of Christmas? No, Christmas Carol. Sorry, my bad.
Christmas Carol? Oh, yeah. Which version did you watch?
It was not a very, very old one. I think it's right in the middle. So maybe the 60s or 70s?
Yeah. There's been so many versions of it, and a lot of really good ones out there too. Yeah.
Yeah. We used to watch that a lot. And I like the theme and the storyline with that, guys. Yeah. What was with death?
The three ghosts of the presence. And the ghost of Jacob Marley. Right. Yes.
Mankind was my business.
There's that version with Jim Carrey as well, acting as the
Disney one. And I've got to say,
exactly.
When it first came out, I watched the ad and I wrote it off. I thought, it looks terrible. And then I watched it and I was shocked, genuinely shocked. How close to the actual text it really was.
It's very good.
It's actually a really good version great way to introduce children to classic literature.
Yes.
Like Christmas Carol. Exactly. And I love the story of Christmas Carol. I think it's a beautiful story.
Yes.
So when I were first to watch it with Damien, it scared him because there's a few scary bits.
Of course, there's a few.
And he's going, oh yeah, that was a bit scary. And I said, you should be scared that there are poor people in the world because we need to do something about it. You know, that's
dad lesson.
Wow. I turned it into a lesson.
And there's always the classic of, what was it? The Muppet's Carol?
Muppet Christmas Carol. Everyone grew up watching that. With Michael Caine. Yeah, that's right.
I always watched that.
He does a good Scrooge for a kid's show. Yeah, that was good. Acting. Imagine being the only human acting with a bunch of puppets. I think there were some other humans, yeah.
There were a couple of humans.
Very good. Yeah. So clearly, Home Alone is always a Christmas classic.
Oh, it's and so good.
Home Alone is great, though. And this is the English teacher in me. Because yes, it is comedy, it is slapstick, but there's a few lessons in there. How can you get past the shovel guy and his story? And the fact that when he tells Kevin McAllister, Macaulay Culkin's character, when he tells him the story, it happens in a church.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin tells the guy his story in a church as well. So interesting that it happens there. I'm sure it's just a Hollywood, it's like a confession. I'm sure it's just a Hollywood thing that it was there. I don't know if there was any like Christians that happened to put it together, but they even sing, I think the choir even sings "O Holy Night."
I can't remember which song it was.
But there was a very Christian carol that was being sung rather than something like,
Jingle Bells.
So very interesting that there's that subtext of the church and confession in a sense and the reconciliation that they both experience at the end, after injuring two criminals beyond what's humanly survivable.
Bad for Joe Pesci.
I love the spider, though. The spider bit. The first scene where he puts the spider on the guy's face and he freaks out. Yeah. And then they start hitting each other with crowbars to try and kill the spider, the tarantula. That was
Being stuck to ice part. That just made me cringe. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Nothing like a bit of healthy Christmas violence.
Yes.
And I have to mention, and I've probably mentioned it every time now, but It's a Wonderful Life. I've watched it with my son Damien, I think maybe 6 to 7 times in a row every Christmas, and it never stops teaching me something. There's always something in it. And the latest fun fact I found out is that Jimmy Swaggart, who plays the main character, there's a scene where he's in a bar and he's hit rock bottom, like he's fallen apart completely, and his character says a prayer to God. God, I'm not a praying man, but if there's a way out, show me the way. And the actor, Jimmy Swaggart, later on admitted that that was a real prayer, that he was praying on set in that scene. And now when I watch it, it means something else to me completely.
Sure.
It's just so amazingly beautiful. I love that film for a billion reasons. Any other Christmas films or anything else, or should we wrap it up there?
Can't think of any more.
Yeah, I bet you after the podcast we're going to be, oh, that one.
We'll probably be after.
And we'll let the listeners debate if Die Hard is a Christmas movie or not.
Come on, guys. It's always a classic.
There's one that I like. I think it's called The Santa Claus. It's like made in the 80s or something.
We watched that as kids. Yeah, we used to like that. Yeah,
I used to like that with
John Lithgow. Yeah.
Yes, he's Christmas too.
Tries to make a competing Christmas. Yeah,
it's a bit cheesy, but it's good.
Oh, so cheesy.
Totally cheesy. but I love it.
As kids, it was a good Christmas adventure film. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, I haven't watched Miracle on 34th Street, and everyone keeps telling me to see it, and I still haven't. Yeah.
I think there that's one I have seen, original. But a long time ago.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, so I may get around to that one day.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one where about the girl who meets a guy who thinks he's Santa.
Oh, yeah.
And there's the whole is he or isn't he thing going on throughout. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I may watch it. Yeah.
Cool.
And then there's all the Hallmark ones.
Yes.
When you say Hallmark, I feel like I've just eaten 10 kilos of Christmas turkey.
There's the tryptophan.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallmark is just tryptophan, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I'm sure there's one or two good ones. I just haven't seen them yet, but I'm sure they're there. Yeah. Oh, one thing I do want to do in terms of audiobooks, people have spoken about, and I've never got around to it, and maybe I'll do it this year. Patrick Stewart narrates A Christmas Carol.
Oh, gotta hear that one.
He'll do a great job.
I actually want to hear that. But I'd love it if he started by saying, you know, I'm going to read you A Christmas Carol, make it so, or something like that.
Yeah.
He's
also an accomplished actor apart from Star Trek.
Yeah.
So
He's played Scrooge he's been Scrooge in a Christmas Carol movie as well.
Yes.
Yeah, and he does the very harsh grumpy. He's very good at doing that. Yeah.
His friend Ian McKellen does things too.
I would not be surprised. They've all probably been around. You know
what
would
be great if there was an audio book of both two of them doing story? OMG, guys.
Get those classic actors. Yeah, that would be something.
That would be so great.
Get Judy Dench in there and a few other, you know, British actors who have just been. Yeah, it would be great.
Oh, mate. Yeah. Wow.
It would be awesome. Yeah, there's our dream. Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap it up there. So first of all, thank you so much to all of you for joining us for episode 70, our last episode of the year of Catholics of Oz. So before we go, we'd like to take a moment to thank our patrons who make it possible for us and have made it possible for us to have the Catholics of Oz on StarQuest for the last 3 years. So today, we very humbly want to thank Martin P., Jonathan B., Deborah F., Julie M., and Tony S., and all the patrons of the network, and anyone who's just a listener and who's been praying for us. We are so grateful that you've enabled us to be able to do this, and we're so grateful that that's happened. So through all the generous donations of our patrons at sqpn.com/give, they make it possible, you make it possible for the Catholics of Oz and all of our other shows on the StarQuest network to continue. So if you'd like to be a patron, you can do that by visiting sqpn.com/give. Also, we'd love to know your thoughts about our topics today. Silly as some of them might have been. You can send us feedback by visiting sqpn.com/Oz, spelt O-Z, where you can also find our show notes, for example, links to Mike Moyer's, links to Caroline's tryptophan and other science articles as well. So all of that's there in our show notes. And while you're on the SQPN website, don't forget to sign up for the Insiders Club newsletter to get updates about your favorite shows. And that's at sqpn.com/about/newsletter. And if you're a North American listener, you can join the StarQuest fan club mailing list by texting StarQuest to 66866. Send StarQuest to 66866. And you can also visit us at the SQPN Facebook page, facebook.com/StarQuestMedia. If you'd love to drop by and wish us a Merry Christmas, don't forget that the Catholics of Oz have their own Facebook page at facebook.com/Catholics of Oz. And you can join us there in discussing our latest episodes. And before we finish up today, on behalf of Lino and Caroline and myself, I want to say a massive, massive thank you, first of all, to the board of StarQuest for giving us a third year and for helping us to improve the show as we go along, and just for having faith in this little group of Aussies who just want to do something about evangelization, and for giving us a space on StarQuest to be able to do that. Don Bettinelli, you are a wonderful, wonderful human being, and all prayers to you and your family, and especially in the way, Dom, that you've kept the network going. I know that a lot of other people have pitched in to help through the difficulties that you've had recently. We spoke about your house and all the issues that came along, and that we're thrilled that you're back home with your family. And I know there's a bit of unpacking to do and everything, but we hope that you do have a wonderful Christmas, Dom, with your family when that time comes in your own home, which is amazing. Caroline and Lino, do you want to throw any kind words in there as well?
Yeah, we want to thank all the listeners for sticking with us through this time, through the whole year, and thank you to everyone at SQPN. Got wonderful colleagues, wonderful board, everybody, and I want to thank you guys as well, Lindsay and Lino, for being very cool co-hosts with me on this show and making it fun as well. So yeah, wishing everybody a very merry, happy, holy Christmas.
Awesome. Lido?
Yeah, I'd like to thank everyone, especially the SQPN family and you guys there. Wishing you all very merry Christmas. What?
Yo, it's Daddy Shotlegs here saying happy Merry Christmas to everyone. Good great New Year. Wait a minute.
By the power of Grayskull, we have the power for Christmas to give to everyone.
Okay, wait.
Gosh, sorry, guys. There's those two people. No,
you got to see the changeovers.
Poking He-Man with your legs. He-Man, the sword. Hey, don't point that to me. Pointing is rude. Sorry about that, guys.
I love how they're with you into the show today. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right. Happy New Year, guys, and Merry Christmas, and take care.
Yes.
Take care. God bless.
Yes, and thank you. Yeah, Caroline, Lena, thank you. It's been awesome to podcast with the two of you. It always is. Love you both. It's such a lot of fun. And thank you. And to all of our listeners, have a Merry Christmas, a Happy Holy Christmas, have a Happy New Year and a prosperous New Year. And we can't wait to share more episodes with you starting in January next year.
Hi everyone, this is Dom Bettinelli, CEO of StarQuest, with a special message as we approach the Christmas season. This past year, the StarQuest Network has continued to expand our mission of exploring the intersection of faith and pop culture through our many entertaining and informative programs. Now we need your generous financial support to reach new audiences with more of the life-changing and uplifting programming we've been creating for more than a decade. That's why it's very important that we hear from you this Advent and Christmas, the time when nonprofits receive most of their support for the year. If you are already a supporter of StarQuest, we thank you and ask you to prayerfully consider increasing your support at this time. If you're not yet a supporter, please become one now. Every gift counts. Could you give $15 or even just $10 per month? Whatever level of support you can offer, please show your support for SQPN this Christmas. And remember that your gifts may be tax deductible. Just go to sqpn.com/give. That's sqpn.com/give. May God bless you this Advent, and may you have a blessed Christmas season.